to Fitfluential Radio, the intersection of fitness, health, wellness, and modern medicine. 50% education, 50% motivation. We're here to help you find your fitness. Tune in weekly for interviews with some of the most respected and experienced names in the business, providing actionable insights for you in every episode. Thanks for tuning in today. Let's roll. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I am joined by the amazing Christina Kerp, and she is the author of a new cookbook that I guarantee you, you've got to get this. I think it's a wonderful holiday idea. We're publishing this show around the holiday time, and I think it would be a fantastic gift. In fact, I can tell you it's going to be a gift for a lot of people in my family. This is a it's like visually appealing. This is one of those cookbooks. I don't know if you're like me. If you get a cookbook and it doesn't have pictures, I feel like I've just been let down in a big way, which is why I usually don't buy cookbooks unless I can leaf through them. It has so many beautiful pictures, but listen to this. Made whole, more than 145 anti-inflammatory keto paleo recipes to nourish you from the inside out. Now, if you are listening to that description going, wow, that sounds like a cookbook full of tasteless, boring food I would never want to eat, think again. So first of all, if you pick this book up, and of course we'll link to it in the show notes, if you pick this book up, you will look through it and go, are you kidding me? Like, this looks amazing. My man and I have made, I think, at least three recipes out of this book. And one of them was, and I'll link up to it in the show notes because I have to find it in here. It was pork medallions with like a creamy coconut sauce. And I'm trying to find it while I'm leafing through here. This is silly. I'll link to it in the show notes. I am not a fan of pork as like the main dish. And so I didn't want to make it, but he chose it and it was so good. I was licking the plate. It's her recipes are outstanding. You will not feel like you're, if you're somebody who hasn't gone paleo, or if you're somebody who thinks that, you know, not having traditional carbs or, you know, pasta or bread or anything like that, and you've heard what paleo or keto is all about, and you're like, how could I ever enjoy food? Trust me, this book is amazing. And furthermore, you are really going to enjoy this talk with Christina because so many guests are coming on the show, you guys, and we are hearing more and more people talk about how they have identified massive amounts of inflammation. And just overall, their health was taking a turn for the worse in a huge way. And by discovering the tie between things like decreasing stress, improving sleep, but also most importantly, changing their lifestyle and what they eat and how they eat and eating enough. So many people are changing their health so dramatically for the better. And that's what you're going to hear about in this show, how this woman has taken control of her health and started to push back to doctors that just wanted to continue to put her on, you know, various drugs. And I think the world of this lady. I love her cookbook. You are absolutely going to want to follow her on Instagram because I don't think you will ever want to cook anything but what she puts out there. And you would never complain about eating healthy when you see her stuff. She is an inspiration. I truly enjoyed this chat, and I know you will too. So tune in, sit back, and enjoy this interview with Christina Kerp. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I am so thrilled, and I mean that in a huge way, to welcome Christina Kerp from The Castaway Kitchen. She's the author of truly, like, I dare you to get this cookbook and not be drooling over every page. I showed my man friend, and I was telling Christina when we were chatting before the show, I'm like, I'm just flipping through it and I go, oh my God, my man has like pulled down the side of the ears. I should have said use sticky notes, but he's pulled down like half of the book because we want to make them. But these recipes and the photos will make you just drool and think, yeah, how can I complain about eating healthy when I have a cookbook like this? So Christina, I'm so excited to have you on the show. I'm so excited about this chat, not only because of your cookbook, but because of your background and the health lessons that we're going to be able to talk about today. So welcome to the show. Are you ready to go?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for having me, Kelly.
And it was so good to chat with you before the show. For everybody that's listening, I said, let's chat for 5 minutes. And we chatted for like 35 minutes. So She is amazing. So Christina, I think you know the drill. Whenever I have somebody on the show for the first time, I like to ask, you know, you've got this cookbook, you've got an amazing blog, but how did you first become interested? How did you become interested in like a fitness or healthy lifestyle? How did you become interested? When was that and why?
So I always say my first peek into true or like a more holistic health was in my 20s when I was going to school, working full-time and like partying full-time and not taking care of myself. And I was, you know, I'm from Miami, so living la vida loca. And I was suffering from really bad heartburn. And I got to that point where I was taking Nexium, the little like purple pills to manage it. And one day I was just throwing them up. Like I could not feel, my body was just like, no more. And I Googled like homemade remedy for acid reflux. And I started doing like apple cider vinegar shots and stuff. And this was like a decade ago, but after that, it cured me. 3 months of drinking apple cider vinegar, I've never had reflux again. And
really?
Yeah, that drastic change was kind of was like, oh, let me learn more. And so I dabbled in gluten-free and paleo a little while. But yeah, it wasn't fast forward then, you know, a few years in the middle there of some more bad choices because I was 20. I was young. And then fast forward to having a son and just postpartum health, I really hit like rock bottom. I gained a ton of weight. I was, you know, just not feeling so hot. And I was about to turn 30, you know, and I guess like turning 30, I wanted to be healthy for my son. So that's when I really committed to changing my life. And yeah, you know, again, the Google, I think it was something on Rob Wolf's website, like an article I read that I was like, okay, this is it.
That's so, I mean, to hear, and I know what we're going to be talking about, so I'm excited and I'm trying to like weave into this in the right order. But what's interesting to me is you talk about in college, you know, that you were, and we all did, you know, I mean, I think about what did I learn most in college? And it was like, probably one of my biggest things was how to use the medical facility to get a pass to not go to class.
Right.
And, I mean, I'm just keeping it real. For the first 70% of my college years was me just going, I'm so excited because my parents aren't watching me and I can skip class if I want to. And then it was the latter 25% when I got really serious and I thought I was going to go to law school and I added a second major and three minors. And finally, my parents were like, great, you're on Dean's list. Great, you got your shit together. When are you going to get out of our house? You know? And but at the same time, we all do a lot of partying and we don't. I mean, when I was in college, the idea of working out was so like fitness was, so I'm 49. So when I was in college, you know, I think I finally graduated in like 96, maybe 94. But it was not common to be working out or talking about fitness. It was very much on like the outskirts. Like today, I see so many kids in college and it's part of their lives. So it was really different. But when you talked about being on Nexium and having heartburn, it made me remember all of a sudden that I went to Ohio State. I'm sorry. I went to the Ohio State University. I forgot that you're supposed to say the Ohio State University. And my friend Tracy lived in Cleveland. And so she went to whatever school is up in Cleveland. And I would go up on the weekends and party with her in the flats. And we always, because I hadn't figured out my dairy sensitivity back then, we would carry around a bottle of Mylanta in our purse and Tums. And I mean, we just constantly had bloating, gas, and we would joke with each other like, oh my God, get me my Mylanta. But we always, and it never in our 24-year-old heads came into our brains to go, what's causing this? We just were like, and that's the typical American response is not what's causing this, but what's the pill that's going to fix it? And right. I'm just curious because you know that my health problems have gotten me to the awareness of how much medication I've been on all of my life. But with you on your journey and the folks that come to your blog and potentially, I don't know if people hire you to help them with nutrition, but do you see this a lot where people are still so in denial about like, hey, you can fix what's wrong with you as opposed to just finding an OTC drug to take to get rid of the symptoms? Do you still see that a lot? I definitely do. I think it's very
common. I do. I think once people come to me because I have such a food first message, they're already looking, but as of course my platform grows, you get just more, you know, different kinds of people from different walks of life. And I do get a lot of people who are still dealing with minor things. Like people don't realize these little things like, hey, are you taking Motrin every day, like ibuprofen or aspirin for every day for headaches? Or like anything that's anti-inflammatory medicines? Like, are you just taking acid reflux medicine, Prilosec, Tums? If you're taking anything like that over the counter on a daily basis to manage some symptoms, like that's it. That's the thing. That's not normal. I know we're told that that's normal, but it's not. And like, you can live in a way that you don't have to take these medications where you're not masking your symptoms. You're actually living in a way that you just get rid of the symptoms completely because you're working toward the root cause. And I do get people who come to me. I don't take clients yet. Once I finish my nutritional therapy practitioner certification, I will be taking clients. But I'm just like, I just tell people, I'm just a regular girl. I'm a chef. You know, I like food. I used to eat all types of food. And I just someone who got sick and decided to get better and made really good food while I did it. And that's what I do, you know?
Well, you do it really well. And I have the perfect, you opened up the perfect path for me to take us where we need to go. And for what it's worth, we will link up to, of course, at the end of the show, Christina will share these links and then we'll link these up in the show notes. But, you know, I've pulled up your blog while we're talking and I am not exaggerating. Like, I'm just looking at some of these things. Like, one of them's the meatballs and one looks like chicken with some kind of sauce on it. And I mean, I'm just like, oh my God, first of all, I'm so hungry. I think one of them looks like sausage. I think I saw this recipe in your book, like sausage and Brussels sprouts. I could be wrong.
Cheap hand meal. Yeah, there's some over. I also tell people it doesn't have to be complicated. It just has to be good.
Yeah.
And you're going to feel satisfied. Yeah.
It does.
I mean, I eat really well. People feel bad. They're like, oh, you don't eat gluten or you don't eat this. Like, oh, I'm like, don't feel bad for me. I probably eat better than you.
Okay. So yeah, when we get into talking about specifically, her areas of expertise, autoimmune protocol, and a lot of what one of the reasons I got so excited when I got her book is that, and if you've been following me for a while on social media, you know that I'm working very closely with my doctor and my dietitian to address many health problems. And really, the more that I study and research, recently this year, I mean, I started getting blood work done and understanding the concept of hormonal imbalance a couple of years ago. But the truth is, as many of you that have been following me know, while I've been addressing things and certain parts of hormones became balanced and things like my sleep got better, certainly in the area of I'd call fitness and weight loss, I haven't made any progress. I've made some, but my body, it's just still very clear where I was like, this is not right. And I know you can't just go, oh, well, you're 40 plus, or, oh, you're in perimenopause. And that's what happens. There's plenty of women in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond that are in outstanding health. Our bodies are capable of healing. So what has become very clear to me personally, and I'm starting to see it in many more women and women, not just in their 40s, but in their 30s and their 20s, is that there's an even bigger picture here of what's affecting us and affecting our weight loss or how we feel. And that's what we started to refer to in the beginning of this chat. And that is what's your lifestyle like? What kind of medications are you on? What kind of, autoimmune diseases might you be dealing with without knowing it? If you have adrenal fatigue, if you have massive stress and you're on tons of medication, you can go to the gym all you want. At some point, that's going to become utterly useless. If you're relying on cappuccinos all day and Red Bulls and protein bars and then going out for happy hour with your friends, and you're wondering why you just keep packing on the pounds and your sleep is shitty, there's a reason for all of this. So a lot of what we're going to talk about today is the fact that here's the long and short of it. And Christina, tell me if you think that this is a wrong kind of general conclusion to jump to. All of these types of problems that I just referenced, so much of what is wrong with us can be dramatically changed for the better. I don't want to make it simple and say, you can totally make yourself better and solve everything. But with food choices and lifestyle and addressing your autoimmune issues, you can really transform your health and your life. And all of these other things will then fall into place. But you can't, I had to learn this year very clearly from my dietitian. She said, Kelly, a healthy body can lose weight. An unhealthy body cannot lose weight. You can't get there until you get healthy. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I tell people all the time, like, you know, Western medicine tells us you're sick because you're fat, but really you're fat because you're sick. Like that weight gain, that inflammation
in your body. Say that again.
You're not sick because you're fat. You're fat because you're sick. And that happens so much, especially to women. Like when we have, our body goes into this like fight or flight mode. Like when you have that adrenal fatigue, when your body's overtaxed because, you know, we're overworked, we're overstressed, we have too much screen time, we're not, you know, we're sedentary, or the opposite, where then we go and run 6-7 miles and we're under eating and our body is like just trying to hold on to every calorie for like dear life because it's, you know, it's like it's in fight or flight. You're chronically stressed. And then when you're stressed for long periods of time, like all these hormonal things happen. Like pregnenolone steal is one thing that happens where literally like your fight or flight response is stealing from your sex hormones to feed that cortisol. And you can just, it's just the repercussions, they compound. And unfortunately, autoimmune disease, like you mentioned, Kelly, is rampant right now. And women go undiagnosed for decades. Why? Because you get a young woman, she goes to the doctor, she's like, I'm fatigued, I can't lose weight, I have my joints hurt. And we're not taken seriously. Mm-hmm. A lot of doctors don't take us seriously. They just think that we're being dramatic or you're PMSing or you don't, you know. And this fatigue and the brain fog and this inflammation that young women are dealing with, women of all ages really, but we go our whole lives and it takes women years to be diagnosed with Hashimoto's or lupus or rheumatoid arthritis or whatever, you know.
I'm over here going like, amen. You have no idea.
Yeah, we have to be like in control. We have to stop thinking like that. Like you mentioned before, people want to just take a pill. But that kind of mentality is you're putting your health in someone else's hands. We have to take our health into our own hands and be responsible for our own bodies and like what happens to it.
Well, and you know what you said though? You just said there, you're putting your health in someone else's hands. And truthfully, I think that we are all in this country, particularly, we are conditioned to think that's what you should do. Like a lot of people listening to this are like, well, shouldn't I trust my health in my doctor's hands? Shouldn't I trust that I don't know better? Shouldn't I trust that when I go to the doctor, he knows what's best for me? Here's the deal. We're not in this interview and in many others that have already been published on the show and that will be coming up in the future. We're not saying all doctors are bad. We're not saying that all doctors don't know what they're talking about. However, the doctors that went to medical school 20 years ago, 10 years ago, that may be treating you right now, because they're busy running a business and they haven't chosen to stop and go look into more holistic practices or learn about these things, the bigger picture and how food and lifestyle can affect, they're in a system that they have to play within. They have to play within a system that they have to work with the health insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies, mm-hmm. and that's what pays the bills. So when you understand that, if you go to a regular primary doctor and you get 15 minutes and they're like, turn them and burn them, I've got 10 minutes with you, know that when you go see that doctor, that type of doctor, you have 15 minutes, his primary goal is to prescribe medication for you. I have a doctor, he's not allowed to come on the show because he has some very controversial medical opinions. And I think it would be a questionable thing for his business. But he's like, Kelly, I'm a drug dealer. That's what we do. And he works in emergency medicine. He's like, we are incented to just prescribe drugs. And right. If more people would know that they could get better so much more on their own and stay out of the ER and stay out of going to the doctor and the, you know, urgent care, everything would be different, but people don't know that. So at what point did you, Christina, kind of get to the point where you realized like, I've got to be a bit more of a stronger advocate for my health than going to my doctor and asking for these pills isn't getting me anywhere. When was that for you with that shift?
So a big aha moment for me. I suffer from hidradenitis suppurativa. It is a skin condition that it's like medieval. I always tell people it's really bad. As far as like painful, debilitating conditions go, it's like on the top five. It's you get like boils and abscesses and like painful wounds that like don't want to close and like seep and bleed. It's awful. And not only is it awful, it's embarrassing and it's painful, and it's a whole slew of things. And of course you get these things in like delicate areas of your body. And so, and this came up for most people, it comes up during puberty. So I lived with this for many, many years. I saw all the doctors, dermatologists and they always prescribed antibiotics and creams and cortisone and blah, blah, blah. And no one ever mentioned to me diet or lifestyle ever.
Christina, I have to ask you, and I'm so sorry, I'm interrupting you on your flow. First you said that and I didn't understand it. Isn't there a book about this called The Hidden Plague?
Yes, Tara Grant.
Okay.
She's amazing. So
here's why I have chills, because.
Yeah, so listen to this. So her book, that was my aha moment. She wrote a guest post on Rob Wolf's website. And it's funny because Rob Wolf and Mark Sisson are both like really, like have been really important into like my lifestyle changes. Like their work has been like, they plowed, they're the pioneers. But Mark Sisson's Primal Blueprint was her publisher. And then this post on robwolf.com, it was a guest post by Tara Grant. And I'm reading this post because I also, same thing, Google. I went online and I was like, oh my gosh, my diseases after my son, my hormones were crazy. And it started spreading under like to different parts of my body. And I was like, terrified, like, no, I can't, this can't get worse. It's already like hell living with this. And I went online and I I told you about the apple cider vinegar. Like I went online to see like, what can I do at home to manage this condition? And I read this article about this woman and she's talking about tomatoes and nightshades and autoimmune protocol and inflammatory and remission. I'm like, hold on, what? I'm like, you put this in, like you cured yourself through food. Like, you can manage this condition with food. And I had like a lot of emotions. First, I was like really excited and like, what? And then I was like, so mad that I have lived with this for 15, 20 years and not one damn doctor ever mentioned food. Mm-hmm. Anyway, fast forward to almost 4 years later, I am in remission. I have healed my body and I did it by myself. And the doctor didn't do a damn thing for me.
I am literally like, so here's how I'm going to, this might surprise you. The first thing, so I have that book on my Kindle and I had no idea if everybody, I'm sure you can tell, I had no idea we were going to bring this up. But the first thing that I noticed that I had, that crept up when my hormones started changing. It was right around when my husband was leaving me and my divorce was going on and he cheated on me. So I was going through this like horrendously traumatic time. And I came home and this was when I was living in Chicago. So I was wearing a turtleneck and I took my turtleneck off and on my neck, it was like my neck had broken out in what looked like big mosquito bite bumps. And it was mm-hmm. all over my neck. And my husband and I at the time, he was like, oh, it looks like you have a rash. Maybe it's from the dry cleaner, whatever. So I went to this doctor and this doctor who incidentally I ended up suing later for sexual harassment. That's a whole other story. And I did win, by the way. So I go to see this doctor and he's like, what do you think his answer was? Antibiotics. When that yep. didn't get rid of the bumps. And these were bumps that are not acne. They were, again, like the size of it. They're rock hard bumps. And I'm not going to lie, I would stick pins in them. I would try to squeeze them like a pimple. And the pain when I would squeeze one of them, it's like it would go into my nerves.
Your bones. It's so awful.
That you feel the pain and they spread to the back of my neck, my upper back, my shoulders, my arms. I have scars from them. And mm-hmm. I kept going to this doctor for 2 years. And every time it didn't work, he would just put me on double dose, double strength. Then he sent me to a dermatologist. What do you think the dermatologist put me on? Accutane. Accutane, I believe, is now not even, they don't even allow you to prescribe it. It's so dangerous. That cleared it up a little bit. But then I came back and I remember one time I had so many of these rock hard bumps on my back. They did 40 cortisone shots in my back to make like the swelling come down. So somewhere in there, probably not back then, but then I went back to that doctor. That's when I had a situation with him in the office that was inappropriate on his end. And I never went back. I found a new dermatologist and it was a woman. And I was telling her about all my issues. And I'm like, I think there's something wrong with me. And it seemed like she listened. And you know what she put me on? Spironolactone. And she said, it's the wonder drug. And this will, and she said, you'll be on this for the rest of your life, but it'll make your skin problems go away. And I have been on spironolactone until a month ago, since 2009. And if you guys do some Googling on the side effects of spironolactone, all the things that I've been trying to fix with my bioidentical treatment, that's been a testosterone blocker. So everything we've been doing, my doctor, when I saw him several weeks ago, he's like, you're still on spironolactone? I thought he didn't know I was still on it because I hadn't been pushy enough about, hey, why am I still on this? No doctor's taking me off of it. People, I read that book by, it's Tara Grant, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Somewhere in there. Now, I think maybe my bumps, because I still get them. I think they're like a lighter version. I don't get where they're like a boil, but they're these things that defy every, when my man has seen them, when my doctor's seen them, nobody knows what they are. They're rock hard bumps. And I remember having this aha moment of going, you know what? 7+ years, probably 10, I've been on all this medication to get the bumps away. And you know what? They still came back. And I'm guessing that as I progress through dairy-free, gluten-free, and addressing my autoimmune issues and adrenal fatigue, I'm guessing you're going to tell me that I'll probably not have to worry about this, even going off the medication, because I was on the medication. I still had all these bumps.
Yeah, and it's absolutely possible to put. So it sounds like you have like stage one. So there's like, you can have stage 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 5. I mean, Kelly, you don't understand. People have entire parts of their body cut out, like under their arms, like layers of skin. The surgeries that people do to get remove this disease from their body, it's tremendous. And it's something that affects people quite a bit, but no one talks about it. Because of course, skinny things are weird to talk about, right?
Yeah. But the more we talk about it, the more people, like anything. I mean, this is what I want to do with the podcast, is talk about the uncomfortable things. I mean, we're doing a series on emotional eating, and we've had more women go, oh my God, I'm so not alone. And if we talk about this, I bet a lot of other people are having these weird skin issues where they're like, okay, this isn't pimples. This isn't just as simple as I'm on my period and I got a breakout. Like, this is some really painful, horrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, I started a new job in 2009, and I remember going to the job and I had just big rock hard bumps on my face. And the night before, I had to fly out to DC, and I kid you not, you get so desperate to fix your skin that you'll do. I mean, this sounds so unreasonable, but I took a safety pin and I would stick it in there in my face. And then I would just make it bleed and stuff. And I remember being on my first day at my job, and I'm like 40 years old, and I'm hiding my face with my hair because I didn't want anybody to look at
me. Hell.
That's hell. And to think that I was on medication to fix it, the medication didn't do shit. And now
treating something chronic with medication, that makes no sense when you think about it. Like, I understand there's some life-threatening things. Like, I get it. Type 1 diabetics, like, you have to be on insulin. That's different. But like, when people are being put on like Humira and like these biologics for these conditions, it's the repercussions of being medicated that long. Like, I wish doctors learned more about nutrition in school. And I think that the tide is slowly changing.
Yeah.
You have more doctors who are educating themselves. You have people like Rob Wolf and Chris Kresser who are creating programs that they're working with medical professionals to teach them the nutrition side. That, you know, you have a lot of doctors coming out now, like even like your last guest doctor, she's like medical doctors who are trying to change the conversation to be like, hey, let's go food first, medicate if needed after. But 90% of like the diseases that we deal with today, like diabetes and, you know, cholesterol issues, like heart disease, like heart attacks are killer. And it's their dietary related illnesses. Mm-hmm. And I think it's hard for people to wrap their head around how much food affects us, because they just think, I'm eating normal food. No, that's the thing. The food that we see as normal isn't normal. Like, our DNA has not evolved. Humans have not evolved in 10,000 years. However, our food in the last 100 years alone, we went from being like mostly hunter-gatherers, horticulturalists, to some farming, to all of a sudden, like, now we're eating all these grains, our animals are eating grains. Then it's the, you know, the Industrial Revolution, now food is shelf-stable. now there's sugar and everything. And then like, it just progressively got worse. Like the degeneration of food in this country in the last 50 years has been, it's criminal. And so all of a sudden you're feeding people this Franken food, like literally, and like, it's not recognizable. It's not recognizable. And then no wonder we're sick. Of course we're sick. Our bodies are screaming out for help. Like it's our gene, like, you know, epigenetics, right? We can't change our DNA, but we can change our gene expression. And that's how you like put things in remission. You turn and off these switches. So that's what we have to work toward. Like flipping the switch, like flip back to being, hey, I'm a healthy, thriving human that eats food for humans, not whatever the hell they're like, you know, like whatever they're putting on the shelves. Like food shouldn't be shelf stable, people. Like if it's in a box, don't eat it.
That's so true. I mean, there's whole generations. I mean, sometimes I get really frustrated, you know, when I go home for the holidays and, you know, I'm always trying to, you know, it's hard when, like my parents' generation, right? They, and their parents' generation, they came from this place of frugality and, you know, buying canned food, buying boxed food, having that stocked up, having your freezer full. And I go home and I say to my mom, I mean, I joke with her all the time. I'm like, there are things in your pantry, mom, that you had when I was in high school and I'm 49, you know, and
but you know, that generation, it's World War II. World War II really shifted the way that like your parents, you know, that the way they saw food, because all of a sudden we had to get food across the world to soldiers. And what was happening, they were sold, that generation was sold on margarine. They're like, you know, because they wanted to send the butter and like the more calorie dense, healthier food to the soldiers. And so they sold the civilians on eating on vegetable oils and margarine because they had to feed these people something. And I get it. Like but that's not a good part of our evolution. Like, you know, while at the same time we started seeing medicine that was saving lives in terms of infectious diseases, then all of a sudden we swapped out people dying from infections to people dying from chronic illnesses that can be, that are dietary related, you know?
There's so many, and I feel like, I already feel like this could be like a 3 or 4 part series that we could do, Christina, because so many, like several points that you just made is number one, when you talked about Frankenfood. And I know whenever I'm interviewing people, I always put myself in the shoes of our audience, because there's a lot of people that are listening where they don't live there. You know, like for me, I've been going to see a doctor. I've been doing a lot of research. I'm now understanding things that to me even a year ago, I would have been like, okay, yeah, I know this diet Mountain Dew I'm drinking is, you know, a shitstorm in a can, but I'm going to be okay. And then you read something after a lot of other research you've been doing. I mean, this was just me 2 or 3 weeks ago. And when I understood the bromine that is in this stuff, and that the totality of all these things that are such a toxic overload on our bodies, because it's like you said it so well. You're like, they've made the food, particularly here in the United States, our food has been transmuted into something that's so far from food. Even if you think, you know, if you go to the grocery store and you buy a tomato and it's not organic, you might roll your eyes and go, like I used to several years ago, I used to be like, it's a tomato, like I'll wash it off, whatever. If you understand that the difference between an organic tomato or a tomato that you grow yourself and a tomato that's there, it could have been already like completely genetically modified, but then it's got so many pesticides sprayed on it to make it able to sit in whatever, I wouldn't say Whole Foods, but your average grocery store, to make it sit there and look red and beautiful when it's out of season. It's been sprayed with so many things that when you see a picture of a guy in a hazmat suit spraying your vegetables, mm-hmm. that is going on your table into your kids. And we wonder why. Okay, let's take this for real, people. Girls who are age 8 and 8 and even younger are developing breasts and pubic right. hair and getting their periods. Do you think that's just evolution? That's not no. evolution. That's coming from the food, from the mom, and then what they're being served right. because there's hormones in there, and people don't there's get hormones. That.
And in our environment, and you said that too, our toxic load, people don't realize the amount of plastic that we use and that's in everything. And oh my gosh, it kills me. Like they give little girls like at the parties and like those cheap little glittery like makeup kits for them to play princess. If you like break down what's in those things, first of all, in other countries, it's illegal, like straight up. what's even in baby formula in this country is illegal in most other countries, like the ingredients. Like there's, they put like the phytoestrogens in our environment that are in beauty products, in the plastic we're packaging our food in. It's everywhere. Of course we're sick. And then, you know, you talk about toxic load, our livers, right? Our livers and our guts are what like detoxify the body, and our liver and our guts detox excess sex hormones in our body, right? So excess estrogen. And so when you have this body, this liver and this gut, and they're crippled with inflammation and with too much toxicity, like how is it going to do other things it's supposed to? How is it going to like metabolize food and create energy and get energy where it needs to go? Like it's insane. Like what our bodies put up with, like these, our bodies are insane, beautiful machines, and they're really patient and they put up with a lot of stuff, but
yeah. It's
you're
so
sick
true.
And that's, you know, everything you do, the way you eat and the way you live and the way you move and the way you think, you're always sending messages to your body, to your DNA, saying, hey, this is how I want to be. So if you're constantly poisoning it, you're telling it like, I don't want to be so good. And so you're going to be sick. It's going to manifest. And I think that we've gotten so far away from how we used to live. Like modern life is, you know, I get it. It's great. I like having an iPad, and I like my cell phone, you know, I'm an influencer, of course, but I think that we need to be out in nature more. We need to cook our food from scratch. We need to get people back to really caring about where their food comes from. And,
so true. And that's why we're here. That's why we're having conversations.
Right. Like, exactly. Exactly.
This is the end of part one of a two-part interview with Christina Kerp. Be sure to tune in for the next episode.